Well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at the first five verses just of the passage which we read. 1 Peter's a lovely little letter, and it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And these verses from 3 through 5 are verses that I would use quite often, even as I share with people, maybe in pastoral visitation. Because I just think they're full of hope, and they're full of blessing. And so we're going to sort of give it that title, Count Your Blessings. We know the hymn we sing, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And we do need to think about our blessings. We need to count our blessings from time to time. We need to reflect on what God is giving to us and God is doing for us. As we think about our health, sometimes we moan and complain when we don't feel so good and when we're down and we're not such good company. But look back a few months or a few years, whatever it requires, and think about good health and think about how God has brought you through life and blessed you with good health and strength, maybe in your younger years or where you're at now. Of the faculties that we have, and we're thankful to God for all that we have, and we do understand and appreciate that there are those who do not have just the fullness of the faculties that we have. And it hurts, and at times when we hear of people being maybe seriously injured or things happening in others' lives, and we understand and appreciate what people sometimes go through. We have in our congregation Brian Galt. And Brian is one of the survivors of the thalidomide medication back in the late 50s, early 60s. Brian has no arms. So he doesn't have that faculty that we take for granted. And yet you could see Brian driving up that road. You would maybe take a second look because you'd say, there's a guy with no driving and he hasn't his hands on the wheel, but it's because he uses his feet to drive that car. And he has been used by God in so many wonderful ways as he has gone different places, sharing his own personal testimony and encouraging people to live for Christ. And I know that he's been in the local school, primary schools, just talking about his faith and encouraging children to give their all and their best for God and for Christ. We give thanks for our families. How important it is that we recognize that God has blessed, put us in families, and he wants to bless families. And more than ever, we need to pray for families, and we need to pray that families will be together and stay together, and that families will get back to being the core part of our society, and that we are influencing society, because families is how God intended it always to be. We need to thank God for all the different privileges that we have and that we enjoy. And you know the things that are distinctive in your life, all the blessings that you have. So we need to count our blessings. And today we're going to think about four very distinctive blessings that Peter mentions in these verses. Before we come to those, I want to just focus a wee minute on Peter. The very first word of this letter is Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who is this man? This is Peter, the fisherman. This is the Peter who was down by the seashore when Jesus comes by and says, leave your nets and come and follow me. This is the Peter who is with Jesus throughout his ministry over those 3 years. He's the one we sometimes refer to as the upfront man. So whether he was a leader or whether he was just a bit forward in his way, but he's the one who always speaks first. He's the one who always seems to have something to say, not always the right thing either. He's the one who answers the questions. Who do men say that I am? The disciples answered, some say you're Isaiah, some say Elijah. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah, he's the one who recognizes who Jesus is. And then Jesus comes to those disciples and they're in the boat, and Jesus says to the disciples, throw your nets out into the sea and bring in some fish. And what does Peter say? Lord, we've been out all night and we've caught nothing. But because you have said it, we'll try again. You know what that's like, don't you? Someone's trying to give you advice and you say, well, we've done that, we've tried that, and it hasn't worked. And Peter's basically saying to him, Lord, we've been out here, we've fished all night and they haven't anything, but we'll try it anyway. A bit petulant at times, a bit brash. Whenever Jesus talks about dying, Peter says, no, Lord, we'll defend you. Even if I have to die, we won't let anybody touch you. Peter's the one who is sitting by the fire in the courtyard and someone says, you're with that man Jesus. He was afraid. I don't know him. You're one of those disciples of Jesus. You're from Galilee. No, I'm just here on my own. I don't know who you're talking about. Peter was afraid there, wasn't he? This is Peter who left that courtyard broken in tears. Peter had a few dark days, hadn't he? Then he hears the message, Jesus, who has been crucified, who's been put into the tomb, the tomb's empty. The message gets back and Peter goes running. And John tells us that basically he came to the tomb first, but Peter's the one who goes in. He's not here, he has risen. And then he stands in front of Jesus on the shore of Galilee as Jesus looks into his eyes and says to him, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you really, really love me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus says to Peter, you feed my sheep, you feed my lambs. Jesus has restored Peter to that very important place of being that disciple that goes to do the work of Jesus. That even though he has let his Lord and Master down, his Lord is with him. And so he goes to that ministry. He gives himself to that ministry. And we read through the book of Acts and you're with Peter on the day of Pentecost. He's the first to preach. 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus Christ. He's there with Simon the Tanner and he gets the message, come to Caesarea. I can't go amongst Gentiles. And then he has the vision. God is saying to him, don't call anything unclean. And so he goes to Caesarea. And there he preaches and again many have come to faith in Jesus Christ. This is Peter who writes the letter. The Peter who has had his ups and his downs. The Peter who has been on the crest of the wave and in the depths of the wave. The Peter who stepped out of the boat bravely and then begins to sink into the sea only to be rescued by his master. This is the Peter who writes to the Christians, the elect exiles of the dispersion in all of the different regions. Those who have had to flee from Jerusalem for whatever reason, including Christians, because of the Roman dictatorship, the Roman imposition upon the people. Out of fear, they leave, they go elsewhere. But there are those chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And Peter writes to encourage those elect exiles, those Christians in exile. And his words to them are words that speak of blessing. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. So we're going to consider the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. And the first blessing that Peter speaks of is the blessing of new birth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. great words of praise to God, like the psalmist David, who is constantly praising God. How many of the psalms begin, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The blessing of new birth. God our Father has caused us to be born again. And the Father blesses his children. And the whole wonderful concept of the new birth is that it is about God coming down to us. It is about God coming into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. As Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It is that you be born from above by the Holy Spirit coming into your hearts. And our catechism reminds us that we are, the Holy Spirit's work is to enlighten our minds in the knowledge of God, that we might turn from our sin and embrace Jesus Christ, who is so freely offered to us in that gospel. And the birth of a child is a wonderful experience that comes about as the result of the love of a man and a woman. And we experience the joy of a newborn child. How sweet to hold a newborn baby, we sing. And to see the love and the joy that it brings. And yet that little baby, which is so perfectly formed by the might of God, carries the stain of sin and needs the new birth. The Bible's full of reminders to us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one. And Jesus comes before Nicodemus saying, you must be born again. And the whole message of the apostles through those early Christian days was a message of turning to faith in Jesus Christ. And so Peter is able to write to those who have turned to faith in Jesus Christ, saying that you are born again to a living hope because God has caused you to be born again. This is the spiritual blessing of grace. God coming into our hearts. New birth from above by the Holy Spirit, by which we are made the children of God. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says, we are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And without that new birth, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven. You can live a good life. You might live the best life of anyone. Yet unless a man is born again or a woman is born again of the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But must come as a sinner to Jesus. Must believe in the one who was crucified, dead and buried, but who is alive again. Must embrace the truth of the gospel that is set out to us and preached faithfully in the ministry of your servant Mark. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. God has wrought this work within our hearts. Isn't that a blessing? It's not by my might. It's not of my deeds. It's not anything that I have done, but God has caused me to come in faith to him. What a blessing. And I wonder this morning, have you entered into that new birth? Have you experienced the joy of salvation that is turning away from sin and turning in faith to Jesus Christ and embracing the gospel of salvation? The second blessing is the blessing of a living hope. We use the word hope when something seems uncertain. We're looking ahead and we're hoping for things unknown. As a Ballymena United supporter, I keep hoping beyond hope that one day they're going to win the league. And some days you think, oh, it's getting near, and then crash, bang, wallop, you're out of it again. But you keep hoping. And you have hopes. You have things you hope for. Things you're hoping to do this week. Things you hope to do next year. Places you hope to go for holidays. Because you're planning, you're thinking, you're looking ahead. But some of those hopes will never come to pass. They won't happen. Because other things will take over and take control. But Peter says we have a living hope. We are born again to a living hope. A living hope is something that is safe and secure. And this is the Christian's hope. It's a hope that holds the future in the present because it is anchored in the past. It is anchored in what Christ has done for us on the cross at Calvary. And the Hebrew writer can speak of a sure and certain hope that is anchored firm and secure. Peter knew what it meant to be anchored in Christ. He had his own experiences of drifting, didn't he? When he stepped out of that boat and the waves were surging around him and he thought he was about to be engulfed by those waves and the hand of Jesus takes control and lifts him out of the sea and he is safe and secure in his master's hand. But when he felt that he had set it all to the side in his denials and he felt, I've gone away from Jesus now. He's never going to want me now. And Jesus comes alongside him and says, Peter, I have prayed for you that you would not fail me. And so he's able to know that the hand of the Lord is with him. He is the living Lord. It's not just knowing who Jesus is. It's believing in Jesus Christ and what he has done. And when asked the question, who do you say that I am? Peter answers with affirmation, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's a recognition that this man, Jesus Christ, who has come walking amongst them in Judea and Galilee, this Jesus of Nazareth, despised by so many of the Jews of his day, is the Son of God who was promised from the Old Testament days of Abraham, even going back to Adam, but through Abraham and the prophets. The Son promised who is now present. And that hope is shaken when Jesus is placed on a cross and he is crucified and he is dead. But the hope is renewed and affirmed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter, hearing that news, rushed to the tomb and rejoices to hear the words, he is not here, he is risen. Peter's hope is restored. As he stands before Jesus on the shore of Galilee. But most of all, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us the living hope. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us the greatest message of the gospel. There is hope in a living Christ, in a living Christ. Oh, we are thankful for the cross. We give thanks for Christ's death, that he took our sins upon his body on the tree, that he gave his life a ransom for many. But our hope would be empty if we were hoping in a dead, crucified Jesus. But our hope is in a risen Christ. A living Christ, in a hope that is purchased by God with the blood of Christ. And it is the blood of Christ sprinkled upon us that purifies us. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that gives new life to the soul and promises resurrection glory to all who are trusting in Jesus the Savior. Hope in Bible terms is assurance that comes because our Redeemer lives. It's because he lives that we have hope and that we too shall live with him now and live with him eternally. And I know there are many here, and you're rejoicing in that hope. The blessing of a living hope. And you're looking forward to that hope becoming reality, and you enter into the glory of Christ. But there are those here this morning, and you're not sure what the future holds. You're hoping that everything will work out all right. But you haven't anchored firm and secure in the Savior's love. You haven't set yourself into the arms of Jesus. You haven't turned to Him. Oh, that you would hear His voice. Recognize His grace and His love that is reaching out to you, saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. Born again to a living hope. And then there's the blessing of an inheritance. Our new birth guarantees a home in heaven. God's covenant promise to Abraham and his descendants included the material blessing of a land as their inheritance. God said to Abraham, all this I will give to you and your descendants after you, a land of promise. And we know that when they went into Egypt, that they left it behind, but God said to Jacob, I will bring you back again. And Moses brings those people out of Egypt as God opens up the way. And then Joshua brings them across the river into the promised land, and they take possession of the land that is flowing with milk and honey, the inheritance that God had promised to them. But you know, our inheritance is a greater inheritance. Our promised land is a heavenly dwelling. Our Canaan is a land flowing with spiritual blessing. The land of Canaan was flowing with milk and honey, but it became a wilderness, became barren and bleak. You read through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and those troublesome days of Israel, and the nation is like a wilderness. And the land is barren. But our inheritance can never perish. Israel was barren because the people turned away from God, disobeyed God. God gave them up to their foolish ways. And they were taken into captivity 70 years in Babylon before returning. And the writer, Paul, writing to the Romans, speaks about God giving up the people to their sinful desires. Barrenness. But the believer has an inheritance that does not perish, that will not fade, that does not decay. Because there's no pollution in heaven. And there's no rust in heaven. And there's no decay there. There's no sin there. It's a land of pure delight. Some have been promised an inheritance on earth, maybe looking forward to taking possession of that inheritance, but for different reasons may never realize the benefit of the inheritance and even die in poverty. But the Christian inheritance is being kept for us by God Himself. So Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither rust nor moth nor spot can spoil, nor thieves break in and steal. An inheritance imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. But we have to read on. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation to be revealed. The blessing of God's protection. God is keeping an inheritance for us in heaven. Do you have that inheritance to look forward to? Do you have that inheritance waiting for you in heaven? If you have come in faith to Christ, then you have. Where I am, said Jesus, there you will be also. I go to prepare a place for you. Do you have that inheritance waiting for you? Let's look at the fourth of these great blessings. It's the blessing of God's protection, which Peter follows on with. An inheritance kept for you who by God's power are being guarded or are being kept. And that's why I love these words. There's an inheritance kept for me in heaven, and I'm being kept by God so that I'm going to take possession of that inheritance in heaven. Isn't it wonderful? It's a tremendous message that we have, that Peter is giving to us by the Holy Spirit. You cannot get a better policy than this. An inheritance kept, and you're being kept as well. Your inheritance guaranteed, safe, in the arms of the one who is our benefactor. Now, storms may come our way, and there can be suffering and trouble. And the chapter goes on, verses 6 to 9, to talk about the troubles we might go through and the difficulties we may face. Enemies may attack us, but God is protecting us from evil. And even though we go through difficult times, Peter reminds us these are meant as tests to make our to prove our faith genuine. We are kept by his power. And you see, Peter again can reflect back. Jesus said to Peter, after Peter had boasted to defend Jesus, Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. Not a wonderful thought that Jesus Christ is praying for his disciples. Peter would deny Jesus three times, but Peter still belonged to Jesus. And Peter is still being kept by grace and being kept by Christ. And because he is being kept, Peter would become a foremost apostle of Jesus Christ, preaching the good news about Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, and the hope that all of that brings to those who believe. And we are saved by grace. And we are kept by God's power. And we can enjoy a foretaste of our inheritance now here on earth. But the full reality is kept in heaven for us. And one day all of heaven's splendor and glory will be revealed to our redeemed and renewed eyes. And we will enter our eternal home. The one who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. That is our assurance. Our hope rests firm in Jesus Christ, who died for our salvation, who rose again for our justification, who ever lives to sanctify our souls and bring us home to heaven. What great blessings we have. Blessings that belong to those who are in Christ Jesus. So I close by asking you today, are you counting your blessings? Do you know the blessing of the new birth? Many of you do, I know. Isn't it wonderful? The blessing of a living hope. Hope, because Christ is risen, we too will be raised with him. The blessing of an inheritance in heaven. Where I am, there you may be also. A living hope. The blessing of God's protection, who are being kept by his hand. Those eternal blessings belong to every believer. But they can be your blessing this morning if you're still outside of faith, because God's word invites you to come in and believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, who gave his life a ransom for many. And it may be that here today, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, coming down into your heart, enlightening your mind in the knowledge of Christ. That you would turn to him with eyes of faith and believe. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. We thank you for what Peter brings to us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the truth that is in these verses. We thank you for the light that shines upon the way that leads us to the Lord. May we follow the light. May we find Christ. May we walk with Christ. Rejoice in Christ and in all of the blessings that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.